Evening, everyone. I want to say first thank you for your prayers when my wife and I were out of town on vacation. It's always nice to go on vacation, but it's even better when you come back home. Would you please turn to, on your Bibles, please turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. We're going to read 13 through 25. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed for corruptible things as silver and gold, from you vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raises him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit of into unfeigned love, one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is a grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Peter begins with therefore. Therefore what? Preparing your minds for action and being self-disciplined should be considered. The key phrase here is set your hope on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The structure of the sentence should not lead us to think that there are three things to do. There is one thing to do. Set your hope on His grace. When we are suffering, remember that our hope is not here. Our hope is not in status of how rich we are of money, education, or work, especially where one works. You miss a day of worship, then come the next. And work cannot dictate our salvation. Our hope is to be set on His grace. Our hope is not to cut into smaller pie pieces. We are not to be happy with our hope 50% on God, 10% on God, on job, 20% on family, and 20% on possessions. If our hope is divided, then we are shaken when some of our hope is shattered. When things go wrong with our work, we become depressed. When family members become ill, we lose our hope. We do not have the material possessions that we want, or are losing our possessions, then we lose sight of God. Our hope is not to even be 1% in anything else but in God's grace. Our hope is in His internal inheritance. Our hope is in the spiritual blessings of God. Our hope is on a reserved sign in heaven that the promises and inheritance is there for us. 1 Peter 1:3 and 5, just the first chapter, same 3 and 5 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. As 22nd century Americans, and all the possessions we have placed on our hope is in this earthly world, our hope in this world is not just being a few percentage points, but often our hope is here in this world. Our hope is in any and everything but Jesus, and leads us to having difficult times in our lives. So what are we supposed to do? How do we put hope on his grace? Peter tells us, prepare your minds for action. Get your minds ready. Roll up your shirt sleeves, brothers and sisters. We must think clearly and edify each other. God has signed us up for a trial that will last the rest of our lives. Our hope is not here. When our hope is on something else, then we are dismayed, perplexed, and crushed. How do we endure? Set your hope on God's grace. How do we do that? By getting our minds straightened out, we need to place our focus on God and his grace. We must always be ready for the trials and adversity that will come. The Word of God tells us that we are living in a society that is opposed to even the thought of a true God. We are told to renew our minds spiritually. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It reads like this. Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To seek the things that are above. Please turn to Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And not to put our trust in the things of this world. 1 John 2:15 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Christian life is a life of action, where we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We must have the assurance of our salvation. We can and must know that we are saved before we can live the Christian life to the fullest. Salvation is by grace, and we must appropriate that grace by obedience to the commands of God. Grace and obedience together in the Word of God. Be self-disciplined. We place our hope on the grace of God by exercising self-discipline and self-control. If we are going to place our hope on God, then we must control our desires, control our wants, and control ourselves, and not plunge ourselves into the materialism of this world. Our problem is that we want everything, and we want it now. With our hope in this world, we have tried to accumulate far beyond our means, trying to live above and beyond our paychecks. Now as it all comes crashing down, we are reminded that this world is not our home, and we are commanded to exercise discipline and self-control. A lack of self-control and discipline in this world will bring us a tremendous amount of problems. We must remember the words of Jesus, Matthew 6:20. It says, "But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and nor steal." This is exactly what Peter is teaching. Be self-disciplined and get your mind focused. If our value and treasure is in possessions or work or anything else in this world, then our hope will be on those things also. As we read in 1 Peter 1:14-16, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." If we are going to be true followers of Jesus and be his children, then we cannot conform to the ways of this earthly world. As Christians, we cannot let earthly desires squeeze us into the mold that will make us look like the world. If we really call upon God as our Father and we know that we will be judged by our works, then we need to examine our way of life. We need to live our lives in reverent fear. The reason why we live in reverence, fear, and holiness is clear. We have been redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ, which he paid on the cross for our lives. To have self-discipline, devotion, and commitment come to mind. Devotion. What does devotion mean? Love, loyalty, enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. Christians have often used the term devotion to speak about a special time that is set aside to focus on God each day. The Bible teaches us that we can devote our lives to a particular task for God. Ezra devoted himself to the study and obedience of God's law. Ezra 7:10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach the Israel statutes and judgments. And Nehemiah devoted himself to the work of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem." Nehemiah 5:16. "Yea, also I continue in the work of this wall, neither bought with any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work." In number 6 is another example of people separating themselves from the world as they can be devoted to God. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Jesus speaks about the fact that we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and manna," which means wealth. Commitment. The definition of commitment: an agreement or pledge to do something in the future, a commitment to improve conditions, dedication, a promise to myself to change and challenge myself, and a promise from God. Psalms 37:5-6. Psalms 37:5-6. Says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Thank you, God, for your promise. In Matthew 22:35-38, says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. What does Jesus mean by this statement? It means total commitment on our part. Not halfway, 10%, 20. What does this total commitment mean? It means that one who is totally committed to God has entrusted us with great assurance and absolute reliance on his or her entire life and soul to the care and safekeeping of God and Christ. This is what Paul meant when he stated in 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He had no fear of losing his soul, since he had committed it to Christ for safekeeping, and was fully assured that he would keep his soul in perfect safety, regardless of what happened to him physically. We're talking about Peter. Now, how committed are you to his word? Totally committed to Christ means obedience to his commands. 1 John 2:3-5. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. Yes, I know that we cannot keep them perfectly. No, no one can. We cannot earn salvation. But we have to try as hard as we can to do anything we know to do, and then depend on God's grace and mercy to save us, as he has promised. Matthew 7:21-23, Hebrews 5:9, Colossians 3:17. Those you can read later on. That is why we must continue to study, meditate, and practice his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our hope on his grace, self-discipline, devotion, and commitment, we must have to be true Christians, young and mature in age Christians. Does this mean we cannot be with family and friends? Of course not. For we are the light of the world and are separate from earthly world. So our conclusion, set our hope on his grace to prepare our minds for action, be self-disciplined, devotion to our God, commitment to our Lord God. We must follow these actions, but Can we follow one or two actions listed? No, we can't. All five actions must be followed as Christians, because Jesus bought us with his blood. We are his, and we are valuable because we have been redeemed. We are chosen. We sing this song today, I gave my life for thee. And my brother is going to lead that for the invitation song. This song teaches us to think about how commitment to Christ compares to his commitment on our behalf. We must take time to look at the words of this song or other songs and take the words to heart. If we sing these songs from the heart while we are singing them, we will be singing them about what total commitment to God really means. So now comes, if you believe in Jesus and want to receive the remission of your sins, repent and be baptized and wash away your sins. Or if you're in need of our prayers for you, come. Acts 22:16 says, let's go there. It says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.